This is the B-Team Podcast, brought to you by Jackrabbit Illustrated. The B-Team is presented by Drake's Place in Battle, South Dakota, and sponsored by Jackrabbit Central and Shenanigans in Sioux Falls. Now, here are your B-Team hosts, Brendan and Ben.
Folks, we are back. Welcome into the B-Team Dakota Marker Edition. As always, Ben is with me, and as what might be becoming an annual thing, we have special guests from the FCS Fans Nation podcast, of which is kind of like the parent of the FCS Fans Nation podcasting network that we are a part of. Host of that, Matthew Frazee, the unbiased but occasionally biased Bison admin. So we are very excited to have him with us this year. He joined us in the spring as well, if you remember. But how are you guys all doing? It's the week, man. This is the week of the regular season.
It is the week. I've been looking at rocks in my landscaping, just getting excited. Anytime I see a rock, it's on the side of the road. It's just making me happy, man. Bison, Jackrabbits. I tweeted this out this week. It's like this game has implications not only for us and pride, but talk about the FCS as a whole. So I hope this becomes a tradition, gents, because I had a blast in the spring, and I've been looking forward to this podcast all week, all year, really. So I hope the Jackrabbit fans enjoy some of my takes. And yeah, I think during game time, you got me good. The bias comes out then, so unfollow accordingly on Twitter during game time. So
yeah, good to see you again, man. Glad to have you on here. Like Brendan said, big week, marker week. Quickly, I think we'll go over, recap the Youngstown State game. Maybe we'll ask Matthew how his Bison looked last week against Indiana State. Jacks against Youngstown State, I think, did what they should have done. For me, the biggest thing is get reestablishing the run. That needed to happen going into the marker game. If you're one-dimensional against NDSU, it's just not going to work out. So for me, that was the biggest thing. And then the defense looking good again. So those are my biggest takeaways anyway.
Yeah, it was really good to see really the offense in general get cooking. And I was really excited to see him start being successful on third down again, because that was glaring weakness against UNI, Southern Illinois, even the Western Illinois game. The third down numbers weren't good, particularly with the offense. It was nice to see him keep moving the ball. And the offense did get rolling like, you know, it should. And like you said, it's hugely important. You're going to have to be able to run the ball to some extent on NDSU, because we've all been there. We've all seen that you go get one dimensional. Even if you do have it doesn't matter who you have in the backfield. If you're stuck one dimensional, you are doomed, because they get to really pin their ears back and get after you. And that is just a mess. I don't know if I believe they're necessarily 8 points per game good, but they are very, very good on defense. And we're not going to have that. It was really nice to see the offense seem to hit its stride a little more. The Hogs really hit their stride. I think was more exciting to me than even Pierre having a good game, was the Hogs just pushing people around.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned those third down numbers. I think we were like 9 of 11 or 10 of 11 on third downs, which is huge. I mean, you're not going to lose many games converting that many third downs. Yeah, you mentioned the Hogs. Eddie Miller stepping in. He was the offensive player of the game. It's not that Lucas is bad by any means, but maybe they just needed something fresh moved around. I'm sure we'll see guys moving in and out, because we got some good depth there. But, it was nice to see the Hogs playing well again. It'll be interesting, as far as the run game goes. Zimmer did tweet out that Isaiah Davis has been practicing. We don't know if he'll actually play or not, but it's exciting hearing his name at least, because we haven't seen him for so long. It's been, I think, eight weeks. So we're excited to get him back. We'll see if he's back this weekend or not. But either way, again, we'll have to run the ball well against NDSU. Any more takeaways from Youngstown State before we move on?
I mean, it's marker week. It's hard to focus too much
right in the past.
After you beat one of the worst teams in the Valley and just sit there and pick that apart like, we normally would talk about it. It's I was having a hard time not looking past Youngstown State as it is. So I went and watched some of NDSU's game last week because Matt, do you guys think you're fooling us with this Quincy Patterson, you know, tomfoolery? Like, you guys did it last, like, it wasn't even a full year ago you guys did this with Zeb Nolan. And now you're just, oh no. This time they're going to believe us for sure.
This time it gets switched, right? In FCS Fans Nation, we did our over-under episode to start the year, and it was over-under quarterback changes, and we did like 1.5 for SDSU, actually, and NDSU, just because, you know, you guys brought in the transfer and you had backups, but looks like we might be stuck with one. See if Cam Miller is the guy moving forward. No, I don't think anything is really being tricked. NDSU had said that Quincy Patterson did bang up his shoulder or dinged his shoulder, was kind of the verbiage they said, not against Indiana State, against Missouri State. But there seems to be possibly more of an underlying issue in terms of just overall accuracy within the middle of the field and those short passes with Quincy Patterson. The athleticism is undisputed. He brings a running game impact that, you know, if you could script 7-8 plays for the guy just to be in there for wildcat formation or possible throwing trickery stuff, I think that'd be really effective. But Cam Miller seems to be playing with a little bit more confidence. Now, I'm not going to elevate him to, I remember Brendan talking on the spring pod, and he's talking about Kronowski. He's like, this kid's got swagger. He is the man. Like, you have no idea what this kid's like. And then I saw him live and I was like, yep, okay. Yeah, SDSU has a dude. And I'm not willing to put Cam Miller there right now, but it certainly seems like the playbook magically opens up a bit when he's in there, specifically in the middle field. His head seems to just click and make those reads quicker. You guys talked about Youngstown and you're like, well, there's not a lot to take away from that because sounds like your guys' hogs, like you said, are starting to get a push and you saw good line play. The one takeaway from an inferior opponent for NDSU fans was watching Cam Miller's, in my opinion, his helmet. Like, as soon as the ball snapped, it wasn't just like a one read look. It was that click, click, quick decision, boom. And with Tyler Roll as the offensive coordinator, maybe he was being held back with some quarterback play that wasn't allowing him to go deeper into the playbook. But I don't think the questions are answered. So I think if there was a time for SDSU fans to be a little bit of excited, it's that NDSU fans think Cam Miller is going to be the guy going forward, but you're talking about a game and a half of starting experience. You know, he's got the spring behind him. I don't know, guys. I think we're going to get into this a little bit deeper, but that quarterback situation is going to play a big factor. Obviously, what happens in Brooklyn this weekend. So we'll have to see. Oh, right. Yeah. It seemed so predictable in the beginning. I made the hot take of the seeds were already taken like a month ago. I was like, it's Montana, it's Sam Houston, it's South Dakota State. And it's for James Madison. And I might get two of those now, but Montana has fallen off and things have gone crazy. But it could all just change again this weekend with Eastern Montana State and then us two, of course. So,
yeah. Well, Jordan's
Steve
comment
makes a good point here.
Oh, well, I was going to
take.
Never
mind.
I'll take Jordan's first. He mentioned the pressure from going to the championship game in the spring and bringing the entire team back, which I do think the team has felt that pressure. Especially after that Southern Illinois loss, they kind of realized that they were human. I think they were feeling pretty good about themselves until that loss. And then obviously you and I kind of took it to us. And then obviously the injuries have weighed on the team too, but that's a good point, you know, with the pressure there, but I think it's a good thing that we've got punched in the mouth at this point. And rather than going through the whole season undefeated, coming off that championship in the spring, and then potentially trip up in the playoffs. So, you hope that they can make it a good thing going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. They say it's hard to stay at the top of the mountain, but, you know, here, SDSU fans will hate me, but after winning so many championships and being there so many times, blah, blah, blah. I don't know how many times I've heard in the post-game pressers about how, like, we'll be here next year, and that's from the losing side. I don't think people realize how hard it is to get back after losing. Like, I think it might be easier after winning it, where you feel like you're on top of the world, and you feel like you just have this confidence where, yeah, you can have a screensaver on the back of your phone that shows the final score from the loss, but I think it's really hard to get that motivation to get back. I mean, you've seen it from Illinois State and others, especially with turnover. just the shocking thing with SDSU has been the fact that they brought everybody back from the spring, of course. And I was there. I was in the back of the end zone right where Sam Houston threw the game winner. And it was just eerie. You know, I was just there with the FCS admins, but this side of my ear, I just hear Sam Houston's crowd. And this side was like after the Titanic had sunk. I mean, you know, it was just dead silence out of my left. And we watched those South Dakota State players stand there, your big offensive linemen. They just stared at this trophy ceremony. They didn't leave the field. They stood there for 20 minutes. And that's what Chris Hammond said to me. He goes, man, those are guys who are just going to roll right back. I mean, they're watching this for motivation. And I said to him, I said, you know, nothing against SDSU, but how many times do we hear that? You know, it's hard to get back. So I hope I'm not downplaying SDSU here. I'm just talking in generals. It's just as hard to try to get back as the runner up as it is as the champion. But I think SDSU, if their injuries come together and you guys come back full roster, I would not want to play you in the playoffs. No way. Not a chance.
You make a good point on the coming back from being on the losing side. Because even in the NFL, your teams that lose the Super Bowl usually have horrible seasons the next year, if I remember right. You know, it just doesn't go well for them. But to your point and what Steve Anderson said on his comment about, you know, I think we get healthy and finish strong and look more like we did at the beginning of the season. You know, that there is a lot of truth of that to that. I don't think as SDSU fans, we necessarily want to look at it that way. Because, you know, we hear even here on the Splitting Hairs pods, you know, the A team and the B team, we've talked about how much depth this team has, yada, yada, yada. Well, you can only lose so many All-American players before eventually it does come back to haunt you. And I think that Southern Illinois game, the UNI game, just having a Logan Backus back in the middle of the defense, or having an Isaiah Davis back, or having a Don Gardner back. And I mean, right now there's just been a lot of freaky injuries. Fortunately, it seems a lot of them are ones that guys are able to be coming back from here later in the season. And I do think that's part of why winning this game is so key. Cause if you win this game, you go into USD and get another, say you get a Don Gardner back, or you get, you know, somebody else who's been hurt back, Dyshawn Gales or something. Now all of a sudden you're getting a little better and you can get on a roll, and then you can get that bye week, because that bye week is going to be so huge with how just banged up the defense has been. I know Coach Stig earlier in the season, he said, I don't think we've had this many injuries at this point in the season in the last 4 years combined. And he said, I don't think that's from the spring season. A lot of them have just been freak ones. I mean, broken bones and things like that. But I don't remember a lot of injuries where people break their forearm. That's not like a typical injury. So I think that's going to be a big deal, getting people healthy. And this winning this game was going to be just absolutely monstrous to keep the season going the way we want it to go. Otherwise, that road to Frisco gets really hard.
Yeah, and you mentioned the bye week. It becomes more important because our bye was so early this season. We've had to play so many weeks consecutively. And then you add in the spring season on top of that. It just ends up being a lot of games. If you can play one less game going into the playoffs, it's huge, you know, with all those factors, and including our injuries combined. So, yeah, I mean, getting this win, yeah, I mean, it's – we've underscored it a few times here, but it is absolutely huge for SDSU.
Yeah, and that home field advantage just really gets downplayed a lot in the FCS playoffs. And you can just look at historical context in the last decade, not only in the quarterfinals, some upsets happen, but semifinals especially. And of course, a lot of those are NDSU and Fargo. But I mean, you guys saw it last year in Brookings. Delaware came in and you guys just destroyed them in front of a really rowdy, intense crowd. Sam Houston never left Bauer Stadium, and they brought in some of the best the FCS can throw at them, and they came away victorious every time. And those were close games, but home field advantage and that energy, that stuff matters. So the longer you can end up in your own home stadium in comparison to traveling, very few teams pull off a 2004 James Madison, and which they're the only ones to ever go on the road the entire FCS playoffs. And that was a shorter field at the time, and win a national championship. So, it'll be interesting to kind of see how it all plays out. But for SDSU, NDSU fans, I don't know, they're I don't mean to deter into a different topic. I'm just telling, they're feeling confident, guys. I'm just telling you. I'm hearing a lot of confidence out of these folks. And I got to ask this question for you. Oh, it's got to be annoying. I got to ask this question. I felt like South Dakota State players came into that game in the spring with like this, I'm going to say bleep you, this bleep you attitude. And we are coming for blood, like sharks in the water. We are coming for this team. There's no way they're escaping us now. We know we're better and we're going to step on your throat. Goodbye. Good night. Thank you, Fargo Dome. Shut out the lights. And the feeling in Fargo here is that these Bison players are feeling the same way. They're smelling blood on a 2-loss team that is, you know, gripping. And they're like, all right, SDSU is going to bring the crowd. Good. We're going to go down there. We're going to take what's ours. And then dome sweet dome in about 3 weeks. I have no intel that that's the player's attitude. That's what fans believe the players are thinking. Okay. So don't think that they're thinking ahead, but do you guys get that sense at all? Or like, what do you think the sense around Brookings is? Do you have that same confidence in the spring? Do you think like this will be the win that catapults you forward? Or what is the vibe, I guess, around Brookings in comparison to Fargo?
You know, I think in my opinion, I think that is the big question for me is, are we going to play like a team that's kind of desperate and kind of scared to not win? Or are we going to find what we had up in Fargo last year? Like you said, that confidence, you know, that's why I think last week was such a big game in terms of getting our confidence back. If we would have played you directly after the UNI game, that would have been really tough. You know, I think that, I think we'll see a return of some of that, that swagger that we had last year and earlier in the season, especially being at home. I think that helps a lot. If we were in the condition we are now and going to Fargo, I think it'd be a lot tougher. But playing at home, and I shouldn't say that because historically we haven't played great at home when big games, but I guess I'm hoping that being at home kind of gets us in the right state of mind.
See, I'm as far as the fan feeling and everything like that, I've got a couple friends, obviously, up in Fargo still and whatnot, and they were saying that stuff as soon as the game was over. You know, there's blood. We're going to come back and take what's ours. And you guys,
yeah.
You know, oh, they took pictures on the logo. Like, okay, I guess I didn't even notice that happened until people were upset. And then the window thing, and it's like, oh, yeah, okay, that's the end of the world, I guess. You should have, I mean, honestly, you should have built it better. I'm going to say it. Build the damn dome better. I'm sorry. Like, you've never been excited at and had, like, all right, at a hockey game where there's glass in front of your face, you get excited, you bang the glass. That's just the way that works.
Oh, I cannot accept some sort of hockey UND excuse for breaking
See
glass.
See how I doubled down on that?
I did.
How I weaved that web there?
Caught it right away. I was like, oh, no.
Maybe like it's UND just reference. The NDSU engineers. They don't quite hold up.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, we need that renovation, you know? We got to update. We got to update some things. But
being clever. See, I was very sly to put it in the visitors' press box so that way we get blamed and look like the bad guys.
Hey, maybe you did us a favor. Maybe now they're like, listen, this is why we got to move the press boxes across the dome, update the seating a little bit. Hey, maybe it's going to hook us up in the end. Who knows? So, but Brendan, it doesn't surprise me at all, man. I know you love this week more than anything, and confidence is not going to not deter you from you guys could be 0-8 and you're like, we're taking this Brock back.
Yeah, it happens every year, man. I get more and more confident every day. By Friday, I'm going to be just like Steve Austin and beers in my face and just screaming, you know, just taking some, you know, Coors Light showers, just busting them over my head.
Oh, I love
Brad,
it.
Yeah, I'm drinking chocolate milk for you, buddy.
Nice. Brad mentioned last time that we only lose if Brendan doesn't drink chocolate milk. So he had to bring it back for this game.
You got it now.
Are you coming down for the game?
I unfortunately will not be. No. I've mentioned many times on FCS Fans Nation, this ends in 2 years, though. You guys will see me in Brookings in 2 years. So keep on keep kicking for another 24 months, everybody.
Some of us at least know we're on FCS Fans Nation Live.
Listen.
I know I'm kind of a hack for never going on like buys and away games. Drop it down. My wife and I just welcomed our third and final addition to our family. So it has been thank you so much. Our little boys are the reason why I have not really traveled. You know, it's more important for me right now to help Allison out at home and take care of the little kids. We'll watch on the TV. You guys will despise this, but one of my favorite memories right now of Bison football is I was with my two boys on that 4th-and-1 call sitting at home when Cofield broke that run and we won that game. And I know your hearts are breaking, but I just jumped up with the boys in my arms and like, that to me is really cool. So they'll be a little older in 2 years and it won't be as hard for Allison to just be home with them. So I will be down in Brookings as it's on my bucket list. 2 years, guys. I'll be down there. So I look forward to tailgating and having a rowdy time with you. I'll bring Jordan with too, for sure.
All right. Yeah, drag him down. I tried to get him come this year and he wouldn't do it.
Yeah. He's a busy guy he's a busy guy right now, I know, but we're going to make that trip in 2 years. I'm going to drag him with. He's got no choice, so book it.
Yeah, buddy.
We'll have some beer for you.
Yeah, we'll do this thing down there. Well, it may be a few days short, but it'd be fun to do something live down there.
So that's kind of the interesting thing for me too, though, is how many NDSU fans do you think are coming down for it? Because if you look at the tickets available, it looks like most of our home games look in terms of what tickets are left. And so I'm interested to see how many people come down from Fargo, because it doesn't look like that many visitor tickets have been eaten up yet.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to have as many as normal. And I got to speak on that with the Dome as well. The attendance has not been great. They may have sold tickets, but it has not, in terms of what the Dome has been in the past. I don't know if it's fan fatigue. I don't know if the Fairweathers, after one losing quarterfinal appearance, if you will, jumped off. I don't know if it's COVID concerns or what, but it may look like a 16,000 attendance on ticket sales, but in the Dome, it looks like 14, maybe 13,500. So I don't know if there's kind of some wind out of the sails right now, but I don't think you guys will see as many Bison fans as in the past. So, and hunting opener, honestly, as crazy as it sounds, that takes a lot of our fans away. And for that to line up with this game, I'm telling you, that will take North Dakotans out. We see it every single year up there in the Fargo Dome. So thankfully for you guys, as a hookup, I don't think you'll see as much of that NDSU crowd as you have in the past. And it's getting cold now. If we don't have 70 degrees, and we don't have a rooftop?
Yeah.
Oh, you expect me to go outside?
Well, luckily, no. It's supposed to be really nice for the game. It's supposed to be like 60 degrees.
Yeah, that's great.
But you mentioned hunting, and then we've got farming down here too, and that's both are full swing. And honestly, you mentioned that it would be a sellout, and Brad mentions it here too. I don't think it's going to be a sellout unless somebody comes in and scoops up a bunch of tickets and gives them away, because there are a lot of tickets left. And if you're an SDSU fan listening to this, bring friends along, tell them to come. I know it costs $65, but it's going to be worth the price of admission. So fill up the Dana. But yeah, it's not looking like a sellout at this point, which is disappointing.
I disagree. I think it's going to sell out.
You think so?
Have you just looked at the shot? Because if you just look at the shot of the stadium, right, and it shows the overview and there's the dark blue, light blue, whatever. Yeah. If you actually look in there, there's maybe two sections that have half the tickets available, and the rest are way under that. So I think there's a real good chance that this sells out.
Well, you heard it here. Tickets are limited. Go get them immediately.
They're running out. You better do it now. Oh man. But it seems it just seems odd, kind of all over the place. I've been looking. I go to Frisco every year with the FCS fans, whether NDSU is there or not. It's with our admins. It's a lot of fun. And there's sending out emails right now still for the national championship about general admission tickets, which normally those are just completely gone within an hour of them going on pre-sale. So even that game, I don't know what it is. Maybe it could still be lingering COVID concerns or lack of enthusiasm. I'm not sure, but it is kind of odd with those attendance numbers and things. You would think they'd be higher now that things are kind of back to normal.
Right. I mean, this is the first year I can ever remember, probably is the first one ever, where SDSU outdrew NDSU when they both had home games. I've never seen that before. And that happened on Hobo Day.
Yeah, that it's certainly just odd. But, you know, from a guy who's loved them since 1989, when my parents were like, you're going to be a Bison fan. I was like, all right, sounds good. you know, I've been to those D2 crowds. I've gotten the tickets from Subway when I first got my driver's license, where it was buy the foot long, get the free ticket, stop and go, which is an old statement, filling up the gas tank and getting a free ticket. So I've seen the old days. I'll take the enthusiastic ones over some that just won't make it. And it's hopefully people are just as into it as we are, because it's just fun football no matter what stadium you're at and what you're where you're watching it. So, which is cool. And you guys will both be there, correct? Are you both going to be in attendance?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. Well, lose your voices when SDSU's got the ball. Make sure you cheer offense like really loud.
Hey, you talk to our talk to our cheerleaders sometimes, like to start cheers when we have the ball. So that's a thing that happens. But
gotta be quiet for that offense.
Not that I throw a fit about it every time or anything, and want to start throwing stuff at the other end. They don't come by us where I sit in the poor seats, but they're doing it.
It's the more fun section, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes. That's the better spot to be. Oh yeah, plastic starts to fly. Putting shots, I've heard, rain from the heavens. See, you want SDSU to score because then God sends us putting shots from the sky, like manna from heaven, and pocket candy even. And that is a reason to want SDSU to score enough, I say.
Hey, as long as it's not streamers, that sounds amazing. Sounds like you guys got some cool things that go into the sky anytime you score. I'm there for that. Or it sounds like things that go down when you guys score, which is good.
Yeah, yeah, that's how that goes, if you're sneaky enough. So I got a question relating to the game for you here. What do you think NDSU's answer is going to be? Do you think the linebackers are going to be able to cover South SDSU's tight ends? Kuntz is the leading receiver for SDSU. I don't think Dallas Goedert even accomplished that feat. And then we got Zach Hines at skyscraper height, who can run and played wide receiver in high school out there as well. I think they're the Yankee boys are awesome. They're great. But I think honestly, our best receiving threats right now are our tight ends, because they're just phenomenal. Do you think the linebackers for NDSU are going to be able to cover them? Do you think they're going to double up with safeties? Are they going to pass them off to corners? How do you think they handle that?
You meant Kraft.
Kraft, not Kuntz. I don't know why I said Kuntz. You know, I'm gonna take a timeout while Matt answers this.
No worries, man. Reload that chocolate milk. You know what I've kind of described the NDSU defense as is you're gonna be able to see the same names, and you're almost gonna be able to see the same characters from the spring to the fall. Your difference is gonna be in the spring. A lot of guys were forced into action. You had like a Josh Hayes just hop off to the University of Virginia. You had Jazeer Cox in like his first year starting, which he's one of our athletic linebackers. He's had 3 interceptions in the last 2 games at the linebacker position. Obviously, it's Jabril Cox's brother. And I think you just saw a lot of guys who are like next man up, you know, that phrase that everyone likes to make fun of for Bison fans, but next man up. And the next man up was a typical way too quick. I mean, in the spring, these guys, in terms of learning their assignments, lack of practice time, no Kramer strength development, it just sounds like a stupid cop-out answer. I totally get it. But the players you saw in the spring, they're just not the same as the ones you guys are going to see on Saturday. And I would say that the linebackers, the thing that would give me confidence specifically, Brendan, with the tight ends, is honestly linebackers of the past for NDSU would scare the living heck out of me against the tight ends you guys have. But Jazeer Cox and like the James Kaiser, they are more of those smaller but athletic kind of guys that can help in the coverage game. So I got to teach Emmett how to pour like that. That was flawless. I would say the linebackers, what scares me more with that is your guys' ability to maybe, you know, put 2 tight end sets on the right side and run a power run game and kind of push those our linebackers over because maybe of their size being a little bit smaller, if that makes sense. The coverage isn't going to worry me as much. I think you guys are going to have more success if you go with that deep ball. NDSU has been susceptible a little bit. We saw Weston with you and I pull it off. If you go with a big deep ball pass, a lot of inaccuracy by quarterbacks has caused those plays to not happen, but the opportunities have been there. So if you can hit it deep, you could expose NDSU over the top. I'm actually less worried about over the middle this time just because I think the guys have had the experience. So a little bit of a cop-out, but I would say you might find more success in the run than you would the pass. So,
well, Oladokun does love the deep ball, so that'll be an interesting thing to see if he can hit some of those. You know, one thing with, I think the you mentioned their size. I think that's, Kraft has shown an ability, especially if he gets a one-on-one matchup, to use his big body to his advantage and kind of box guys out. So I think Kraft is, I mean, he's our, I think you said he's our leading receiver. You know, he's going to play a big role in this game regardless. So, yeah, like you said, though, I mean, I think we've got to get the run established first before we see any of the any of the passes to work. Steve mentions Rudy. I don't know if you saw in our game, we had a package where our third string quarterback came in. And
yes, I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah, did kind of a wildcat, but I mean, he's a quarterback, so you can't really call it a wildcat. But we put that package in, which I would think it's kind of interesting that we put that in, because I would think that's something that we'll see from NDSU with Quincy Patterson, bringing him in to specifically run the ball with the threat of a pass.
Yep.
So it's kind of interesting that we both got that going on at this point, assuming Cam Miller starts and Quincy's kind of more of the spells him here and there.
Yeah, and I would just to jump on that a little bit more, the defensive line is massively improved right now. We got Brayden Thomas. He was a Division II up transfer, who's just been a beast, but he had just jumped in the spring, brand new, like literally walked on the field. He's been causing havoc on the outside, as you know, a longtime senior. The Mozart twins, one at a D tackle and one on the edge. The defensive line pressure, especially against the pass, I would say a little bit less against the run, is ferocious. I mean, I've seen a lot of offensive lines, to include you and I's, just go backwards, and it's just really quick. So in terms of your best friend to stop the pass is a ferocious front four, right? So yep. Even more than the linebackers, I think that defensive line is going to help out. But tested against the 605 Hogs, this is a different beast. So kudos to you guys, SDSU. You got some big boys on that line, and that is not going to be – that will be a tall task, literally, for to prove NDSU's defense is as good as the stats say. So,
yeah, I mean, that'll be certainly a matchup to watch, because we had some struggles against even UNI's defensive line, which, I mean, they're good too. But, you know, I think NDSU is going to be another level up. So they're going to have a really good game to keep Oladokun clean, that's for sure.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to me to see kind of how those line matchups play out. So hopefully, Brendan, that gave you a little bit of insight. I know there's some confidence on my side, of course.
It should be. You're undefeated.
So what we're saying is this game comes down to line play. That pretty much seems like the consensus every year, yeah?
Right.
Yeah, if I had to really stick a pin in it, I would say that interior line play. I mean, come third quarter, and it seems so simple. Who gets 4.5 yards on A-gap power? Because you've had to spread some things out and the offense is flowing. Really, that's what it's going to come down to, right? Who's going to be able to pull that off at the end and wear the other team down? So typical NDSU, SDSU.
One thing I do think will come into play too is whose team gets burned deep a couple times. That is going to be a major deal. Because I know our safeties on occasion have had an issue with playing the run a little heavy, and we get caught once in a while with our young backfield. And, you know, like you said, you guys are a little susceptible to the deep pass play as well. So who's going to connect when they have that opportunity is going to have a huge impact on this game.
Yeah. I will be very interested to see how you guys cover Christian Watson, because virtually every game, they're just like, hey, Christian, do maybe one little move, but go deep. And I don't know how he ends up 7 yards past double coverage, but somehow it just works out that way. It's not like he's doing anything special. So that will be SDSU 100% to win this game has to make Christian Watson irrelevant. You can't let that deep ball get out of there. And that's a hard thing to do when he's in the backfield at wide receiver and sometimes returning kicks. So
I can almost guarantee that will happen one time this game. It's inevitable. The way that we play defense, we sell out on the run a lot. And he's the kind of guy that can take the top off the defense. I think it'll happen once. I'm hoping it only happens once. And I'm hoping we never kick to him, because there is no reason. I would rather let you guys have the ball in the 35 than see 100%. him than see him have the ball.
Yeah, he's I don't think he'll be back after this year. I think he'll be in the Senior Bowl and all that because he's really making eyeballs pop. But the thing with Christian Watson is he's just he's tall, he's athletic, he's fast, he's everything in term. He's a great guy too. So we'll have to see how that plays out for you guys. And that is your advantage, honestly, if Cam Miller's in. Of course, Cam Miller has a deep ball, but Quincy's is a bomb. Quincy's is built for Christian Watson. It is that gigantic, huge fastball where Christian can just run, outstride everybody like a deer, and he's going to catch the ball. You know, if Cam Miller throws some ducks because that adjustment's not there. So that's what will be interesting for the NDSU coaching staff in terms of if both quarterbacks are healthy. Would you rather have the deep ball, you know, and pound that rock? Or would you rather have that mid-pass game? I don't know, guys. It's going to be fun to see what the coaches come up with on both sides of the ball.
That would be crazy if we're all assuming that Cam Miller is going to start and then they just play Quincy Patterson the whole time.
Yeah, well, I feel different from the spring. I remember in the spring podcast I said, if Zeb plays, you guys are going to win. But I think they'll play Cam. That gives us an edge. That was part of my prediction. This way, I think NDSU will be – they'll be the same type of passing offense either way.
That is a huge difference. I mean – Cam or Quincy is not Zeb Nolan. He's a large improvement over him. Then just the befuddling thing with me about him is he's a huge improvement over Zeb Nolan, but for some reason, just watching your offense, it didn't seem any more dangerous. And I just couldn't understand why that worked out that way.
Yeah. And I think really, Brendan, because I mean, you guys saw me on Twitter and stuff like that. It felt like, since Quincy's been in at quarterback, that anything in the middle of the field from 5 yards to 25 yards is gone. Like he's going to throw deep to Christian Watson. He's going to throw that quick wide receiver pass. Or, I mean, we don't see slant routes. We don't see crossing routes. We don't see button hooks. And the fans are just screaming for it. And all of us are ready to rip Tyler Roll's head off, the offensive coordinator, because we're like, without Trey Lance, you can't do this job. You're worthless. And then Quincy's off the field. And suddenly those plays come back with Cam Miller. So we're like, okay, is it the quarterback? Is it this? That doesn't make anything better. That still means there's some sort of issue. I don't know if it's play calling. I don't know if it's talent. But I think Bison fans are optimistic right now that Cam Miller is going to pull a Brock Jensen in terms of taking the job from Jose Moeller back in 2010 and then never looking back. So I think that's their optimism. But once again, you guys probably aren't as fearful if Cam Miller's abilities are 2010 Brock Jensen, right? So it's not like it took him 4 years to get, you know, enough to be on a practice squad in the NFL.
Well, we do have to get going with the rest of our show.
We do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry about that.
It's been an hour.
No. Do you, Matt, are you good to stick around for 10 more minutes and make picks with us?
Yeah, absolutely. Would love to do that, Ben.
All right, let's quickly recap. Brendan had a good week, finally. He went 4-1. I went 2-3. He caught up to me. We're tied in the picks overall.
Yes!
Yeah, congratulations. Yes! And NDSU's partly to blame for that. He took NDSU to cover, and they whooped Indiana State 44-2, covered the spread by a mile. Congrats to NDSU for that. Big tune-up game for them. Missouri State beat UND. The game was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be. They won 32-28, did not cover.
Got that right.
Yeah. Western Illinois took down Illinois State 38-31. The big one was UNI took down SIU 23-16. UNI covered there. We were watching that game actually at Brendan's house, and we didn't know who to cheer for because it was kind of good for us either way. It didn't really matter. So that was kind of a weird one, but it was, you know, it may matter come seeding time, you know, SIU, depending on where they end up at the end of the year. And then lastly, SDSU, I picked against them. They proved me wrong. They covered by a mile. They won 47-16 against Youngstown State. So we are all knotted up in the picks, 32-34 against the spread, which is not terrible. I mean, we're almost 500.
I've been on fire with my SDSU picks here.
You're doing good. All right. And quickly, we'll go to the top 25 chat, or we can do Missouri Valley standings quick if you got that pulled up. So Missouri Valley standings, we got NDSU sitting at the top, 5-0 in the conference, 8-0 overall. Then we've got Southern Illinois at 4-1, Missouri State 4-2, SDSU, Northern Iowa, and USD all 3-2, and then a bunch of bottom dwellers. The interesting thing to me is we've got those top six right now, and I think USD is obviously, I think, on the bubble already in terms of needing to basically win out. Northern Iowa's sitting good. Missouri State's sitting pretty good, but they can't afford another trip up. So I guess what do you think we're looking for in terms of number of teams making the playoffs out of the Valley?
Boy, Kyler had a really good breakdown of the Big Sky with this, actually, and he's very confident the Big Sky is going to get five. And there's not a lot of counters to his argument because of their scheduling in terms of three teams having 10-9 wins and then these two eight-win teams. I think the at-larges are going to be tough for the Valley to come by. I think at a max you get four, and I think you'll be lucky to get four. You may have the resumes for it. But NDSU, SIU are going to be locks. SDSU, especially if they win on Saturday, they would be a lock. So I would say four teams. I think Yeah, I'm going to go with four teams. I think Missouri State or South Dakota, one of them is going to be that fringe. What the heck? They should have got in. I don't think South Dakota State's going to lose to South Dakota. I don't think South Dakota is going to be North Dakota State, so I would bump them out. So I would go with four teams getting in for the Valley. That'd be my prediction, just because I think there's a lot more out there from other conferences.
Yep, I'd agree with you there. And then quickly, we'll go over the AGS poll. They got NDSU at number 2 and Southern Illinois at number 7, SDSU at 9, Northern Iowa at 10, which I'm kind of surprised Northern Iowa is below SDSU at that point on that poll, especially after beating Southern Illinois and having the win over us. And then you've got Missouri State at 17 and USD at 20. So that brings us to this week's matchups. We have one out-of-conference game we're going to pick, the not best game of the week in the FCS. It is number 3 Montana State goes to number 5 Eastern Washington. This is a huge game. Montana State, if they can win this game, they're looking at, I mean, are they looking at a top 2 seed if they can win this game and win out?
Yeah, absolutely, especially if they're undefeated against their FCS competition. That quick or very easy, I wouldn't say easy, it was a small loss to Wyoming, very competitive game for them. So I would say that Montana State 100% is looking to be in the top 2 seed conversation, because if you're going to talk about Eastern and Montana in that same breath, yeah, it's going to be them for sure. So,
yeah. So the interesting thing about this spread, though, is that Eastern Washington, the lower ranked team losing to Weber, was that last week or 2 weeks ago?
I think 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
2 weeks ago. Coming off that, Eastern Washington is still favored by 6 at home, according to 5 Dimes right now.
Yeah. Eastern, their home record is insanely good. They have never lost to Montana, the Grizz, on the red field that everybody hates. So people really, they kind of downplay how much of a home field advantage that is. Weaver played a heck of a game there, but that is not an easy place to win. So
what are your thoughts on the spread there on -6? What's your pick?
Oh, I think I'm not going to overthink Weber State going in there and beating Eastern Washington. I don't think they were ever going to go undefeated on what is a really tough schedule. But Montana State to this point, besides beating Weber super close and really low scoring, I do not think Montana State has the offensive output and the quarterback play to keep up with Eric Berry III. I like Eastern Washington to win, and I like them to cover with over 6 points.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I don't think Montana State has the firepower. And if you look at their schedule, I think I saw a strength of schedule of theirs is way low. They've had a pretty easy schedule to this point outside of Weber State. I'll take Eastern Washington -6 here with some pretty good confidence.
Yeah, I'm going to go with both of you guys. I'll take Eastern Washington. They may be ranked lower. I still think they have the better team. I don't think Montana State has the defense to hold Eastern Washington to what they need them to for their offense to be able to outscore them. So give me Eastern Washington. They're going to win by like 10.
I like it. All right. And then we've got the first Valley game is Northern Iowa is favored by 16 at Illinois State. I'll pick first here. I'm going to take Northern Iowa. I think they're on a roll, especially after beating us and beating Southern Illinois. I think they'll go in and take down an Illinois State team that doesn't have a whole lot to play for anymore. 16's a lot, but I'll take Northern Iowa.
Valley battle there. I'm with you on Northern Iowa winning, of course, but I'm going to go with, I would take Illinois. I'm sorry, I'm not the biggest sports gambling guy, but I would say Illinois State covers, if you will, or beats the spread. Yep. I don't think UNI wins by more than 16. So I think they do win, but I can just see Illinois State like just laying down. Even NDSU only beat them 20-0. So I hate to base it off the Bison, but I'll go with UNI winning, but less than 16, 14 points or something.
Yeah, I got to go with Matt on Illinois State on this one. This is just such a screams a trap game to me. UNI's got a couple huge emotional wins. They get the big win against Southern Illinois at home. Illinois State looks like a dumpster fire. UNI still has one more loss to have before they're really on the ropes for making the playoffs. And Lord knows they don't make the playoffs unless they're on the ropes for making the playoffs. So I'm going to go ahead and take Illinois State. I think it's a close game and when it really shouldn't be, but I think it's a close game. So I'll take Illinois State.
We're going to have to make you pick before Matt gives his take. You can't just copy what he says.
And whatever.
I mean, we got one of the top FCS minds here, and you just stealing his takes over here.
I threw in one of the fresh nuggets about you and I not making the playoffs.
Everybody knows that.
Hey, imitation is the most sincere form of flattery, so I appreciate it there, Thumper.
You know, he comes on the show, the least I can do is copy his picks.
Well, here, we've got Youngstown State going to UND. UND is reeling. They are an 11.5-point favorite at home against Youngstown State. Brendan, you pick first.
You want me to pick first?
I do.
Before I pick first, shout out to my wife. She went and brought me my refill of chocolate milk. So that's how that ended up down here. I was a little freaked out by the door opening behind me, and then I just heard a whispered chocolate milk, and it was behind me. So thanks for watching, honey. UND favored by 10.5 at, or USD favored by 10.5 at Western Illinois.
We skipped one. We're at Youngstown State
at UND. See what happens when
you can skip UND. You can skip UND if you want. You did that for me, Thumper. You skipped UND for me.
Yeah, just for you, man. I want to make you feel good inside. Youngstown State at UND. Yeah, I'm going to take UND in that one. They're at home. If it was on the road, I wouldn't take them. It's that easy. So that's not a hard pick to make.
I can just for some reason see Youngstown putting, I don't know, like seeing a tweet where it's like, whoa, from Sam Herter, UND losing by 7 in the second quarter. So I'll take UND to win, but you know what? I'll take Youngstown to keep it close. We'll go with a UND win 30-22 or something. So there you go. I'll pick UND to win, but not by 11.5, which is impossible.
That's a great pick, and I'll agree with it. I'll take Youngstown State to cover there. The next one we got is USD is a 10.5-point favorite at Western Illinois. To me, this is, I think, way too many points, especially do we know if Carson Camp is playing?
No, I haven't heard, but I want to pick before you do because I don't want to hear you complain when I go up on you by like 4 picks next week. So, I'm going to go ahead and take Western because that's a miserable road trip. And I think USD is starting. They just tend to have this knack of really going on these nasty skids at the end of the season in conference play. So I'm going to take Western Illinois. At minimum, it's going to be a close game. I mean, Western's shown they can score. And especially if Carson Camp's not playing, but even if he is and he's dinged up, I think they'll keep it close at least.
Jeepers, control C, control V. See, I'm the one copying and pasting from Brendan now. So
see,
echo all those thoughts. I'll just say as well, the Leathernecks, as a former Marine, they have my heart in terms of second team in the FCS. So of course I got to pick Western Illinois. The Devil Dogs will play great. They're going to win that game.
Yeah, I'll take Western Illinois too. 10.5 is just too many points. They're a scrappy team. And then we've got a pretty big matchup here with really big playoff implications. We got number 17 Missouri State going to number 7 SIU. SIU is only a 4-point favorite at home.
Give me the flying Egyptian dogs who eat children. I mean, that's not a hard one. Give me the Saluki dogs, man. At 4 points, Missouri State's improved, but they're not Southern Illinois good. So, give me the Salukis all day at home by four. Yeah, they're gonna win by. They got to win by at least a touchdown. They're gonna be all pissed off about how that game ended against you and I.
Yeah, I'd be real surprised to not see Southern Illinois bounce back here. I think they're a very, very good team. They went up against a really good team, you knew, and you and I last week and lost. But I think they have a big bounce back here and put Missouri State on the bubble for playoffs probably. So, yeah, I'll take Southern Illinois minus four.
Yeah, teams with a good coach and a good culture that are a good team, you do not bet against those teams when they come off of losses that they believe they should have won and you think they should have won. So they could have had that game many times at UNI. I think they're kicking themselves for it. Nick Coach Hill, he'll rally the troops. Yeah, Southern Illinois winning that one. Missouri State as well, their interior offensive line, very, very bad. Just something I noticed when I saw them live. So I think they'll get pushed around a bit. Give me the Salukis.
I like it. And before we get to the most important pick, we have to mention our sponsors. We got Drake's Place up in Belleville, South Dakota. Make sure to stop by and grab some of the amazing food that he's putting out. And then we've also got Cottonwood Coffee in Brookings. Stop by there before you go to the game, get a nice hot coffee. Both of those spots, thank you very much for sponsoring the show. And then also our pick segment is sponsored by Shenanigans in Sioux Falls. You should be going to Brookings for the game, but if for some reason you cannot, go to Shenanigans to watch the game. It's a great place. You should also be going down to Vermilion next week, but if you can't go there for away games, it's the spot to go for away games for Jack's games there. So with that, we will get to the big one. We've got number two, NDSU, coming to number nine, SDSU. And SDSU is favored in this one, which did that surprise you, Matt?
No, not really. I tend to think Vegas, there's a small part of me that feels like this is all fake with WWE, all sports, and Vegas just has it all. But I feel like they really want people to take South Dakota State here, but I think I don't know. It's all conspiracy. It didn't shock me at all to see the home team, who was substantially better in the spring, just be favored. So, but I feel like they want you to take South Dakota State.
I mean, it almost feels like they want you to take NDSU at this point, you know, with being the 8-0 team, that's the underdog. It feels like trying to get, some bets on the NDSU side. I was surprised. I thought it would be either pick 'em or NDSU by a point. So having said that, I mean, obviously I'm going to pick SDSU minus 2.5. That's a small enough spread. I do think that it'll be a very close game. Based on the total, the predicted score is right around 20, SDSU 24, NDSU 21, which if I had to predict a score, I think that's what I would pick. I think it'll be a field goal one way or the other. I think it's going to be that close. It better not come down to a 4th-and-1 play with NDSU running the ball and taking our hearts out. I'll take SDSU to cover there, and I'll take that prediction 24-21.
I think that's a flag on the play for even mentioning that, Ben.
Yeah, I was having a good night. You know, I'd overcome it when Matt had brought it up, but now you got to do it again. That's almost as bad as that is as bad as mentioning the game that will not be mentioned. So, but Matt, you're the visitor, so you're the guest here. I'll let you jump on before myself.
All right. On the FCS Fans Nation podcast, I refused to give my prediction. I didn't even give thoughts on it because I wanted to save it for you gentlemen and South Dakota State fans. So, little bit of history, a little bit of things like this. There were seasons like 2013, 2018, when you looked at NDSU, and I just sat in my seat and I'm like, until we're down 3 scores with a minute left, I'm just not going to have nerves about this season. And then, you know, that's how it played out. They were some of the best teams the FCS ever saw. There are a little bit of worries with the Bison and this team. Their defense is great. The offense is better. It's much improved. But what are the odds that they're going to go undefeated all the way through the regular season and roll all the way through? I think this is a huge game for South Dakota State. It's obviously big for both programs. So I'm going to give two parts to this prediction. You're going to love the first one. You're going to hate the second one. So the first one is, I think South Dakota State, from the unbiased Bison Amendment, is going to win on Saturday. And I'm going to predict them to win 27-21. I've said all season, if the Bison can hold teams to 20 or under, they're likely going to win 99% of those games, because the defense is good, the offense is efficient enough. So I'll take South Dakota State to win 27-21. Yes, rain down the hate. But here's what you're not going to like. Is NDSU out of that, when you look at teams and around the FCS, at a shared Valley title and one loss to South Dakota State, at worst is looking at probably the 4 seed. And I think South Dakota State ends up seeded at that point, probably in that 7 seed range. So I think North Dakota State, while they lose to the Jackrabbits, they lose the Rock, they advance further in the playoffs, and I think they make it further in the playoffs based off of the situation they get put in. Because at worst, they're traveling in the semis to what will be the 1 seed, Sam Houston. So, and if there's an upset that happens, then they're going to play in Fargo. So my prediction is, congrats, Jackrabbits. You win Saturday. You win the battle. And the war in the playoffs, NDSU, I don't know if they win the title, but I think they make it further. So there you go. A little love and hate for you guys this evening.
That's pretty fair. You know, that's a very fair assessment. It doesn't make me too upset. This game is huge. This game's huge for the state of South Dakota. This game's huge for the Mountain, for the Big Sky Conference. It's huge for the Southland Conference. This is huge for America. No, but seriously, this is huge for all. Like, this is huge for the country. If SDSU doesn't pull this one off, nobody's pulling it off. Then everybody's getting sent to Fargo, and that's no good for anybody except for you guys. You guys are the only people happy with that. So
that is true,
right? But this game is another huge one for SDSU. It's not just huge for the team; it's huge for the fan base. This seems to happen every 3 to 4 years, where we have a game like this, and it usually ends up being the marker game, where it is the one where you got the whole state's attention. And I mean, SDSU has been slowly winning that Sioux Falls area and becoming the thing to be, but not quite getting all the people to come to the games, And then they get all amped up and everybody comes for this big game, and then we lay an egg, and all that momentum just kind of like washes away and goes away. Well, now we've had the last 5 years of being the most consistent team in the country at beating North Dakota State. We made the national title last year. We know we have a good squad this year, even with the 2 losses. I mean, they even did a research deal on the television market of Sioux Falls. The number one researched and talked about sports team is SDSU Jackrabbits. It's not the Huskers. It's not the Iowa Hawkeyes. It's the Jackrabbits, which is huge. For anybody living out of state, that's a huge deal. This game is huge for SDSU to capitalize on that and push into the playoffs and have an opportunity to take what they've done with growing their attendance and their following this year and really getting it up to the next level. I'm not 100% sold that the defensive line for NDSU is as improved as they need to be to completely shut down the SDSU run game like they did back, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago when we would get absolutely stonewalled. I know they're phenomenal. I know they have a phenomenal defense. I just have a hard time wrapping my brain around making that big of a jump from having 300 yards rushing put on them to keeping the Jacks to like 75 yards rushing, like they probably want and need to. So I'm going to go ahead and take SDSU in this game.
I like it. Well said. You gotta capitalize on that momentum. And honestly, it carries over from the spring too. We've got the momentum from the championship run. If we, you know, say we lose this game and then we're, you know, almost, we go from the seed conversation to almost on the bubble and not being able to lose another game. And, you know, it just kills the momentum, any momentum that we had. Now, it's not to say that we can't lose this game and then win the rest, make the playoffs and go on a run. But as Matt talked about, that is very, very difficult to do if you don't have any home games. So I think you'll see a very motivated team. And I think I'm hoping that we don't get punched in the mouth early, because I can see how, as I don't know, quote unquote, desperate as we are to win this game, if we feel the momentum kind of sucked out of the stadium, it's going to be tough to get it back. So it's going to be real important to get off to a fast start.
Yeah, that'll be huge on both sides of the ball for sure. Like in NDSU, are you going to make them think, oh crap, here we go again? Things haven't really changed from the spring. Or within a quarter, is SDSU going to go, oh, son of a gun, this is not like April, is it? So that mental game is going to be huge within those first 15 minutes. Or it'll just be a stonewall and it'll be 0-0 and we'll each have 20 rushing yards.
Right.
That's and we'll learn nothing.
Well, with that, Matt, thank you very much for joining us. We went over our promised hour time. We appreciate your time. Chad's got a very tiny picture of...
Wow. That's the smallest brag I've ever seen in my life.
I didn't want to be too much, you know.
You blacked out all the times NDSU won on that screen. I mean, I know it's a lot. Oh,
there it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
The NDSU fan comes out and
whoa.
I mean, that's like a pop fly. It was right there.
You did. Yeah, you did set him up with that one. Hopefully the marker stays in Brookings. But again, thank you to Matt for being on. We appreciate your takes. We appreciate what you guys do on the FCS Fans Nation site and podcast. And we appreciate being a part of your network. It's been a great partnership, and we're looking forward to continuing that.
Yeah, thanks, Brendan, Ben, and Chad, and all you guys, Jack Rabbit Illustrated. You guys do great work. It's awesome to have you part of the network that we're doing, which is just, you know, about building the FCS brand. So anything we can do, I look forward to the game. It'll be fun. I know we like to talk trash and all the things on Twitter, and sometimes things get heated, but honestly, it's connections and cool things like this that make this whole thing worth it. It's what makes sports awesome. So win, lose, or draw, just like I did with Brendan last year. It'll be more of a digital handshake this year, Brendan, instead of right. our in-person that we had, but, yeah. I wish the best of luck to your guys' Jackrabbits moving forward, and continued and better health for all the players. And it'll be fun to see how the season plays out. So thanks again for having me on.
Perfect. All right. Well, with that, we will hopefully Matt stays muted. We will do as we always do and go big, go blue, go Jacks.
This podcast has been brought to you by Jackrabbit Illustrated. Thank you to our presenting sponsor, Drake's Place in Bowdle, and to Jackrabbit Central and Shenanigans. Subscribe to this podcast and all of the Jackrabbit Illustrated podcasts, and like and follow Jackrabbit Illustrated on Facebook and Twitter. And go big, go blue, go Jacks!
Horns down!